And our connection this hour was made in late March when real estate agents in our region and in different parts of the country had to get a little creative. In New York, the state's shutdown included a pause on open houses, and the industry quickly moved from physical tours to virtual tours. Open houses have been held over video conference, as have meetings to file paperwork, get loans. Well, as our WXXI colleague James Brown reported early last month, the number of newly listed homes has taken a sharp decline, but houses do continue to sell, some with buyers waiving inspections and purchasing over the asking price. That's what we've been seeing for several years. It's still happening. Will the pandemic lead to a slowdown in the market? If yes, when might that happen? And what are some of the longer-term effects the pandemic might have on Rochester's housing market? And I am curious to know from listeners, has this derailed any of your plans to buy or sell a house this year? Would you buy or sell? Are you comfortable doing that? What are some of the rules that are either in place or that you'd like to see in place? Let's welcome our guests for the hour. The president of the Greater Rochester Association of Realtors is Andy Cachela, who's on the line with us. Andy, welcome. How are you?
Thanks, Evan. I appreciate being here.
Good. Good to have you. Also with us is Kristen Vandenbroel, an associate broker with RE/MAX Plus. Kristen, welcome back to the program. Is she there? We're going to figure out if Kristen's there. I think Sylvia Deutsch is there, associate real estate broker with the Sylvia Deutsch team at RE/MAX Realty Group. Sylvia, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well.
Okay. And Susan Glenns, real estate associate broker with the Susan Glenns team at Keller Williams Realty. Susan, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
Let me just ask all of you what you're seeing right now compared to what you might expect to see in May of a non-pandemic. Andy, I'll start with you.
We're unfortunately, we're not seeing anything. It's all virtual nowadays. And but I think on behalf of all of the members that I speak to, we're seeing a lot of pent up buyer demand and a lack of inventory.
A lack of inventory. Is that consistent with what you would have expected anyway, or how much has changed?
Well, inventory has been challenging. A number of months' supply of houses available has been in the 1.4 months. But what's happening is people are holding off on listing, but interest rates and affordability have increased so that more buyers are able to qualify for houses. So there's always a shortage, but now it's even more pressing.
All right, Kristen, I think we've got you now. Are you there?
I am.
Great to have you. Thank you for being with us. What are you seeing on the market right now?
Obviously, a lot of what Andy was saying as well, but the problem is you have sellers that might want to get their house on the market, even with the current situation, but they can't find a place to go. So because of the low inventory, so it's everything's kind of getting a little bottlenecked in a sense because we just don't have enough inventory for people moving in from out of the area or locals trying to move up or size down.
That's interesting, Kristen. So I don't know what the typical breakdown would be, the ratio, you know, in a spring of houses that sell to people who are quote unquote local versus houses that are sold to people out of the region. But has that ratio changed? Are we seeing essentially fewer out of the area buyers right now?
For me, definitely. I mean, I have clients that are planning to move to the area, but they're on hold. Some of them just because their jobs, new jobs they've put them on hold or delayed it, or they've delayed, you know, exactly when the job's going to start because of what's going on. So I think my feeling is once things start to open up, our market will start to open up as well. And we'll get more people that had plans to move here to hurry up. I mean, you know, a lot of people want to get their kids into school if schools do open in September.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, there's still a lot of unknowns that I'm sure is impacting your work. What about you, Sylvia? What are you seeing?
The same. Clearly, the housing shortage is continuing. It surprises me a little bit that, in fact, so many people have been willing to buy virtually. I thought this might be a time when things would level out a little bit, but no, to the contrary, still multiple offers and sale prices above asking. So, people want to buy, take advantage of the rates, have to buy. But I expect that there are a lot of, well, I know that a lot of sellers are also waiting and will be delaying the listing. And the same with Kristen. I also do have folks that would like to sell but don't have a place to go to. So the housing shortage is making it difficult for buyers specifically.
Hmm. What about you, Susan?
Yes. So, Evan, for those who know me, know I am a numbers girl through and through. So I'd love to share some stats with you to just reinforce what my colleagues are saying so that your listeners can really get a sense of what we see day to day. So for the first quarter of 2019, there was 3,833 new listings that hit the market that were single family or townhome listings, okay? And all of this data is right from the GRAR. In the first quarter of 2020, there was 3,716. So the market was down 3%. As we all know, real estate was shut down for all intents and purposes with physical showings on March 22nd. So let me share with you the numbers from April. In April of 2019, there was 1,744 new listings that hit the market that month. April of this year, 828 new listings. That's down 916 properties, down 53%. So we really felt it in April. Now, May, I'm starting to see people are getting antsy. They could pause for a month, but they really need to start making moves. So in May last year, 1,115 properties hit the market. This year, 661, which is down 454 or 41%. So in April, we were down 53%. In May, we're down 41%. So the gap is closing, and we're starting to see more people realize that real estate agents have found a way to do this safely and virtually.
All right. So let's then ask you, all of our guests here, to respond to audience questions. That's really why you're here. And listeners, if you've got questions, many of you have already submitted them, and I will read the written questions. But if you want to call the program as we talk about buying and selling a home during a pandemic, it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Nicole says, my brother-in-law owns a brokerage. They are doing virtual tours, and they can write a contingency in the offer that they must be able to walk through after acceptance and be satisfied with what they see. That seems like it's how it's being done now. Susan, yes or no?
Yes, we are seeing that as something that sellers are willing to do. In a sense, it's a contractual agreement. We can facilitate that.
Okay. Sylvia, are buyers essentially saying right now, look, this looks good, but I need to be in there eventually before I, you know, am committed to a mortgage on this thing? I mean, how handcuffed do people feel?
Yes. Well, I find some are actually willing to forego that in order to make sure they get the home. But it gives a great factor of security that you do, in fact, have a chance to walk through that home and make sure it is everything that you thought it was seeing the virtual tour. So that's a great option.
Hmm. Kristen, what about you?
I think one of the issues that we see with when they're getting into a multiple, you know, offers, people get pretty excited. It's like a, you know, obviously a bidding war. And then the person buys the house and gets to take a walk through the next day or the day after. And unfortunately, the house doesn't live up to what they thought it would be. And that's been a bit of a problem. Some of these sales are falling off. So the way that there is a kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it a loophole or what, that sellers can invite, we can't tell a seller that they can't allow a buyer in a house. So we are seeing some of that where the seller says, hey, it's okay, I'll call the buyer. I'll let the buyer take a walk through the house before they make the decision so that I know I have a deal locked in.
But you're saying, Kristen, a seller cannot say, let's say I'm selling a house and I've got five offers from people who've taken virtual tours only. I can't say, hey, look, I'll take one of your offers, but you got to agree to take it no matter what. No walkthrough. That can't happen?
Oh, sure. It could happen.
Oh, that can happen. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
If you agree, boy, would you advise any of your clients who are buying to make such an agreement to say, okay, let's go for it. That's how we're going to win this deal. But you got to be willing to take the house no matter what it looks like when you walk through it.
I had a buyer. I've had deals go through where the buyer still has not walked through the house. The house is only 2 years old. They felt very confident that because it's only 2 years old, and the seller walked through the house and did a virtual tour, and my client could say, "Show me the ceiling in that corner, and show me the basement floor." And so they felt comfortable, and they still have not walked through the house. They won't walk through the house until 48 hours before closing, and they agreed to that.
Wow. Andy, how often are we seeing that?
Yeah, so each panelist here has a little bit different, and collectively, all 3,000 of our members that are practicing now are using different pieces for different situations. Every buyer is a little bit different. Some sellers are high risk, and they're unable to allow anyone into the house. We had a case where a seller in Brighton, moving to Florida to be with their parents, and the parents were high risk. They had to be clean for 2 weeks, no contact with anything. Otherwise, they could not go to Florida where they were going. So every situation is dealt with, custom individually. And it helps when we're involved, because we kind of make sure that everybody knows the pros and the cons of the decision that they're going to make at the time.
All right. So before we work back through more listener questions, let me just ask all of you two questions that are on my mind then, to kind of set the landscape for what's actually happening now. It's been, 3 years of sort of a nutty market with prices that have gone up, up, up. And I'm sure that's good for everybody on the panel. And, I realize I'm talking to people who are probably happy to see that. But at the same time, I'd love to hear from you if you think, and I'll start with you, Andy, if you think that this pandemic is going to spark maybe a leveling off of the trend that we've seen in 3 years in terms of home prices in our region. And then what advice you would give, generally speaking, to buyers and sellers to keep in mind if people are either apprehensive about doing this year, they were looking forward to it, now they're not, they're concerned about finding a house or finding a buyer, they don't know the best ways to do it. So give me a sense for the lay of the landscape, if you think the prices are going to get impacted at some point here, and then let's talk about advice, and I'll start with Andy.
Okay. First, I think that our market, our 9-county region, Finger Lakes, or the 13 counties that the board practices in, it's an affordable area. So we don't have the problems that San Francisco or Chicago or the big cities. I read a National Association study recently that prices have flattened in some of the major metropolitan areas. But I think that, Americans are Americans. We're hopeful by genetics, right? We look for the best. And so I think there's a lot of pent-up demand. I think when phase two commences, it's going to appear like the running of the bulls in Spain. I think they're going to, open it that Friday or Saturday or whatever day it happens to be, and it's going to spike very high very quickly. I think any seller that's been getting ready or contemplating becoming on the market, they're going to see an initial spike because mortgage rates have remained low. The Fed has indicated that rates are going to stay low, and affordability continues to climb as rates go down. So I'm not in our market. I'm expecting it to continue on its trend, maybe not the 5 or 7% increase every year, but I would suspect that we will see at the end of this year a recovery and an increase.
Okay. And then what's the advice for people who are apprehensive about doing this now? I mean, we're slowly reopening, but, we're not going to see the end of this pandemic for quite a while. And what's the advice for people who are either going to be buying, selling, and are apprehensive?
Yeah, I think Sylvia said it is some people have to make a move. Apprehension can be eased with caution and safety. So, traipsing a bunch of people through your house may not be the appropriate way to conduct business in initial stages of our phase one reopening. But I think that proper preparation and accurate pricing is going to reduce the amount of time you're going to be on the market. As all panelists have said, we're receiving multiple offers on our listings. When we represent a buyer, we're in a dogfight you know, some people are waiving inspections, some are waiving walkthroughs. So I think that any seller that gets, you know, gets good advice, prepares and prices accurately, and no matter who can hear my voice, you're going to have a successful sale.
Okay.
So I would say that just take the safety precautions and move forward if your plans dictate that you need to.
All right, Kristen Vandenbroel, first of all, Andy says maybe not 5-7% increase in market year to year, but he doesn't expect to see a drop or just a plateauing just yet here. What do you expect, Kristen?
Well, I think that, you know, the concern is just obviously the economy and how many jobs have really been affected in our area, or jobs that, you know, jobs that people were moving to this area to take. And I don't know that we know all those answers yet. Mm-hmm. So I guess my feeling is initially, just as Andy says, it is going to be, you know, the running of the bulls when we open up. I think there's a lot of people. I know that a lot of us agents have houses sitting, you know, they're ready to go to put them on the market, but they're not going to do it yet. They just aren't comfortable doing anything right now. But I think you're going to start, you know, June and July and August are going to be our spring market this year. And I think it's going to be still going to be very busy because of the interest rates and because of this kind of pent up demand. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'm as confident as he is next year. You know, I think that there's going to be a little bit of an aftermath effect from all of this, you know, down the road. I hope not. And I know that Rochester is not affected the way the rest of the country is, fortunately, but I don't know that we'll see the big jump that we've been seeing, or the, you know, the 5-7%
sure.
that we've been seeing.
Yeah, I think that's wise. I mean, I think Kristen's exactly right. This full story is unwritten on the economy. We're seeing a Dow, it hasn't been a good week for the Dow, but we're seeing a Dow resilient to the fact that we've seen unemployment claims basically unrivaled except by 1929. So what happens in the next 12 to 18 months? Who knows? But Kristen, when it comes to advice for the apprehensive buyers and sellers, what are you telling them now?
Well, I'm telling the sellers to get ready, if not get on the market, because there are definitely buyers out there. And it's, you know, the houses are not sitting on the market if they're priced correctly. And if they're presented, you know, the house is ready to go. And then for the buyers, I'm just telling buyers to be more patient that, you know, yes, there aren't as many houses, but if you sit it out right now, you could miss a house that, you know, that's come on the market. You really got to be watching and ready to go. Have your mortgage commitment and, you know, pre-approval in place. Be ready to go. And you might have to wait a little longer. It might take you 6 months instead of a month to buy a house. I hope not, but I think it's just a matter of patience. And also, if they kind of keep track of what's on the market right now, when more and more houses come up, they'll be more ready to jump on the perfect house for them because they'll have been a little bit educated on what's going on right now.
All right. Sylvia, what do you think?
Well, patience is definitely one of the big words that comes up a lot with buyers these days. But as far as the outlook, I expected that things would be leveling out fairly quickly. But because I'm not seeing that yet, I guess I would also say this year is probably going to be okay. But logic tells me sooner or later what happens with the economy. There's going to have to be some buyers that are not in the same buying position than they would have been before job loss or whatnot. So, but at the moment, I think this year, frankly, as long as the interest rates are this great and buyers can own a home for less what rent would cost, they're going to buy. You have to live somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why, again, with the housing shortage, it's important that they're patient, and I tell that too. As far as apprehension can come, it would depend on what people are apprehensive about. If they're worried about safety, then again, we would structure a plan. Some sellers are going to be perfectly fine with having many people look. Other sellers may not want anyone in the home. So it's going to be maybe even more personal than ever when we sit down with people and find out how can we structure this move, this transaction, so that everyone involved is comfortable. But it's, you know, the market will continue.
Sure. Susan Glenns.
Yes, so I agree with all of my colleagues about the surge of inventory that we're likely going to see in June with the pent-up demand from sellers that are sitting on the sidelines right now. I think the long-term effects remain to be seen, not only from unemployment, but think about outside effects like the U.S. oil industry, and the prices are just not sustainable. And so it remains to be seen what that impact has on our economy. Generally, Rochester is isolated from large swings. We've seen that in kind of a mid-sized market. I think we even made a list recently. Redfin published an article online, and we were among the top 5 or top 10 cities that was most likely to have the least impact on any type of an economic recession. So we see that pretty consistently. I think I'm asking myself questions about, well, what are the cultural shifts coming out of this pandemic going to do to the real estate market? You know, we may have more people say, I thought I was comfortable in my home, but I realize I need more office space if I'm going to be working from home more. Or I realize maybe I just want to change neighborhoods because I want a different view if I'm going to be working from home more. I also think about the commercial side of real estate and say, you know, with more people working from home, I think the commercial real estate market might be in a little bit more of jeopardy with just employers realizing that virtual workforces are able to be utilized. As far as advice to sellers that are maybe apprehensive right now, we're having conversations with all of our clients and future sellers that if their main motivation, or maybe not main motivation, but if one of their main goals is to net the most amount of money, which let's be honest, a lot of sellers really care about that, and we can show them a path to conduct their sale safely and keep everybody healthy, now is the time to list. Don't wait until June or July when everybody else is going to wait. Because I do believe we're going to see a softening. I think we're going to go from more of a seller's market to a little bit more of a balanced market. So if we can show them a path, get with your agent and put a game plan in place to get it on the market in the next couple of weeks. Beat the rush.
All right. As we work through listener phone calls, I'm just going to sort of lob questions at individual guests in an effort to get through as many as we can here. It's 844-295-TALK. If you've got questions, comments about real estate during the pandemic, 844-295-8255. Christine in Rochester first on the phone. Go ahead, Christine.
Hi, Evan. This is Christine Adamo. I wanted to call because I live in the 14609, which for a while was considered sort of an up-and-coming neighborhood, I think, for first-time home buyers. And I have thought about moving or upgrading to a larger home. And I wonder if there are any particular zip codes in which buyers are looking for homes right now, and if less expensive neighborhoods are more appealing.
All right. Well, the 14609, which is where, Christine?
It's up by Culver and Empire on the Clifford side, past Beechwood, I guess.
Sure. Why don't you hang there for a second? I guess I'll start with Andy, because I don't know where all your expertise or where your turf is. Andy, you want to start? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that there are, you know, there are buyers in all price ranges, urban areas, suburban areas, and even out in the country. So I think that the mortgage interest rates have brought people who would never have been able to buy before into the market. And I think that, I sell houses in a broad price spectrum, you know, from 10,000 up to 500,000. And I don't see any disconnect in the number of buyers. I think the high-end prices are the ones that are being a little bit more affected. I think people are less reluctant to make rash decisions when you're in $400,000 or $500,000. But all the way down, I'm seeing it in all markets. And 14609 was ranked last year Realtor.com top zip code with the most activity in the entire country. So I think that's that area is always hot. North Winton Village is included in that 14609 parts of it, and it's a great place.
Christine, are there places that you're looking at more than others right now?
Well, I find that I wish I was closer to a park, mm-hmm. so much closer to Durant Eastman, let's say, or Highland. So in other words, I could just walk out of my house and walk to the park.
Yeah.
That's the drawback. That's the only drawback for me personally, because I like urban neighborhoods. I like being in diverse neighborhoods. It works out well for me. The only exception, like I said, is not being able to just easily access a park or green space.
All right. Christine, good luck to you. Thank you. Let me ask the other guests real briefly. Susan Glenn, any hot zip codes right now more than others?
You know, it's really widespread around the area. We recently had two properties in Penfield with over 15 offers on the properties. Anything under 250 we're finding, no matter the location, it's pretty hot right now.
Okay, Kristen Vandenbroel.
I agree with Susan that under 250 range is definitely very hot. There's, you know, lots of people that the lower interest rates have enabled them to buy maybe a little bit higher than they originally, maybe if they started looking last, you know, fall or summer and didn't get something, they're able to bring up the range a little bit more, but they're finding the competition is difficult right now. That 14609 zip code is just very, very hot. I have to believe any of us real estate agents that get a call from someone in that area, we get pretty excited because we know it's going to go quickly and sell well. It's still a great area.
Okay, Sylvia Deutsch.
Oh, I agree. All areas, you know, it's the price point more than the area. It's just the affordable homes under 250. That's where most buyers are looking.
All right, Val in Honeoye Falls next on the phone. Go ahead, Val.
Yes, our house will go on the market on Monday, and I'm heartened to hear that you all have told us what our real estate agent has told us. And Honeoye Falls, town of Minden as a whole, is a pretty expensive area, and our house is under $170,000. It's a more country house. It's 125 years old, but everything in it is new, water heater, furnace, and even new insulation in the basement. And we have a perimeter drainage system that keeps the basement dry, although it will never be anything other than a turn of the 19th century 1,200-foot root cellar. But we've been told that we've got a pretty desirable piece of property at that price. And I just wanted to say I was heartened to hear confirmed what we've been thinking. So just wanted to share that. I don't really have a question other than to say, am I right that a house in that price range that's move-in ready and virtually new would be pretty attractive in the Honeoye Falls School District?
170 in Honeoye Falls.
Yeah.
And it goes on the market on Monday?
Monday, yes.
Good luck to you, Val. Thank you very much. And it sounds, yeah. And I'll kick it to our guests, but it sounds like Val's going to be in good shape. I mean, I think that was the point that you were making, Susan Glenn's. Under 250, he's at 170 in Honeoye Falls. You feel pretty
Absolutely.
Good about that?
Absolutely. I think he's going to get a lot of eyeballs on the property.
Yeah. Same, Kristen?
Absolutely.
Sylvia, yeah, no concern there.
Val,
they're all lining
I'll be
up.
Looking for it.
They're all lining up, Val. They're very confident in your situation there. Let me grab another phone call. Deborah in Rochester. Go ahead, Deborah.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. What great information this is. And I have a house on the market now in the 14609, but I'm down a little lower in the Browncroft. North Winton area, really lovely area. But I bought too big a house in the summer of 17 when they were going like hotcakes, four bedrooms. So I'm going to right size because I don't like downsize the expression, whatever. But I've already had a couple of offers and things have fallen through, you know, since March this is. And I'm liking the information about trying to see what I can do between now and July and, you know, before the flood, whatever. And I don't know, but I don't have a lot of money to make big improvements. And it says as is on the listing. And, you know, any advice, any tips, the biggest things you guys can tell me.
All right. Hang on the line there, Deborah. Andy, you want to start? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the deals are falling apart. You said you've had a couple of offers and they're falling apart. Are they falling apart? You know, what's causing them to fall apart? That would be my first look back because, if both or a couple of deals fall apart for the same reason, we have to address that, because likely that's going to continue to be a problem. So, if you don't mind, what's causing them to fall apart?
Perfect. Thank you. In March, just before that weekend of when everything shut down, put the house on the market on Friday, had two looks or three looks on Saturday, and then Sunday when it was going to shut down at 8 o'clock, somebody came in and looked. I got an offer. I mean, 2 days on the, I mean, really. And the gentleman lost his job, so he wouldn't qualify for the mortgage. Yeah. That closing date was supposed to be 2 days ago. And then about a month later, folks came in, did an inspection, and their inspector told them stuff about the garage, needs structural, this or that. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's a garage. It says it is. So whatever. People like or don't like what they like or don't like. I have a lot of stuff in the house. Now, it's not ridiculous. It's not at all dirty. But I have a lot of stuff that I've tried to condense, consolidate, move, make it look appealing. But I don't have the money to put everything in storage and stage it nicely. I've done what I can do, and I figure people understand she's moving. Okay, that's why there are, you know, five boxes stacked in the bedroom. I don't know. So I don't know. I think I just have to keep on keeping on and see. Yeah.
Andy, you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, who work with your agent and look at the buyer's side, you know, reverse engineer your sale and you be the buyer and try to fix anything that's like basements and garages are less important because people don't spend a lot of time there. So I always find basements and garages are a good place to store the stuff that should be moved upstairs. That way you don't have to pay for storage, but people aren't going to really buy or not buy your house because of the garage is full of stuff or the basement's got some stuff, you know? So that would be, if that's the feedback, it's free and you may have some space to organize in the basement to clear it up a little bit. But if you're in that North Winton Village, I would be confident that you're going to get another sale. I mean, that's very desirable market. So,
you know what? I thank you because that's excellent advice. I think I was somewhat hesitant to say, oh, why schlep a lot of this excess downstairs? Which, look, downstairs already has close to 200 boxes. Now, some of them are empty, like keep it a box for a big TV when you're going to move. But I have a lot. I'm here with a little too much stuff, and that's an understatement. But you're right. You're right. I should not be lazy, so to speak, get a lot of the excess as much as I can down into the basement, neatly organized, stacked, and free the house up, the living part, first and second floors, to look as, you know, spacious as possible and declutter it a bit. That's a really good, I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
All right, Deborah, good luck to you. Yeah, thank you. Good luck to you in the 104-609. All right, lightning round because we're running out of time. Marion Grease says, is it better to show a house empty of furniture or have furniture in the house or be actually living in the house? And I'll just throw a dart and say, Kristen Vandenbroel, what would you say to Mary?
It depends. It depends on, you know, what your, you know, there's some people that have furniture in their homes and it's, you know, maybe they don't have the decorating touch or, you know, maybe they still have their college couch, you know, stuff like that. So it's really dependent on, you know, how is it furnished? Is it, you know, something that can be, does it look fabulous already? Then, yeah, stay there. Is it hard for you to live in the house? You know, you've got a couple of cats and a dog and, you know, is it going to be hard once we can start showing houses for us to show the house based on that? You know, do you have beautiful floors and is the, you know, paint in great shape so it will show well when it's empty? So it's a hard answer to give right off the bat. Also, something, it was kind of with the last person as well, is, you know, how are the photos going to look of the house? Or how do they look now in her case? But, you know, will it photograph well empty or, you know, will it photograph well furnished? And how good are you at keeping it clean and keeping it neat?
Yeah, so if you got new stuff, new furniture, it looks great and, you know, photographs well, maybe keep it in there. If you feel like, I haven't updated in a while, a little out of date, maybe the best to kind of clear it out and show them the empty space.
Right, exactly. So it's not, we can't just give one answer.
Yeah.
It's really dependent.
I got you.
And count on your agent to help you, to help you make that decision.
All right, Janice says, I'm curious what percentage of recent sales are investment versus owner-occupied. Susan, any data on that? About 30 seconds.
Oh, gosh, I don't have any data on that right now. I'm sorry. I wish I could certainly follow up with that data. If I were to go gut, I would say most of them are owner-occupied right now because of the prices. Investors mm-hmm. aren't getting the deals right now.
Gotcha. And Andy, a listener wants to know, you know, she's lost her job. She needs to buy. She's wondering if realtors, is it possible to ask if they can adjust commissions during this time? Andy.
Commissions are 100% negotiable at all times, whether or not you are listing or not. So, you know, individually, that's a contract that a seller has with a real estate firm. So I would say if you have questions about anything related to that, talk to your agent or talk to their broker and have a conversation.
I think that's probably heartening to hear for people like this listener and people who are in tougher spots. I want to thank all of our guests. Boy, a lot happening on the real estate market. Andy Kachalos, president of the Greater Rochester Association of Realtors. Susan Glenn's a broker with the Susan Glenn's team at Keller Williams Realty. Kristen Vandenbrühl, an associate broker with REMAX Plus. And Sylvia Deutsch, associate real estate broker with the Sylvia Deutsch team at REMAX Realty Group. Thanks to all of you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks,
Evan.
Thanks very much, Evan.
All right. More connections coming up.